सत्तायितां प्रपन्नाय विद्याम् आदिश्य नारदः यया अङ्गिरसा शाखम् व्याम स्वयं भुवं प्रभो श्रीशुक उवाच भक्तायैतां प्रपन्नाय विद्याम् आदिश्य नारदः यया अङ्गिरसा शाखम् धाम स्वयं भुवं प्रभो श्रीशुक उवाच भक्तायैतां प्रपन्नाय विद्याम् आदिश्य नारदः यया स्वयं भुवं प्रभो श्रीशुक उवाच प्रपन्नाय विद्याम् आदिश्य नारदः ययाम् अङ्गिरसा शाखो तायैतां प्रपन्नाय विद्याम् आदिश्य नारदः शाखं धाम स्वयंभुवं प्रभो श्रीशुक उवाच भक्तायैतां प्रपन्नाय विद्याम् आदिश्य नारदः यायाम् अङ्गिरसा आदिश्य नारदः हो श्रीशुक उवाच अन्टु द डिवोटी एतां दिस् Prapannaya, unto one who fully surrendered, Vidyam, transcendental knowledge, Adishya, instructing, Naru, left, Angirasa, the great saint Angira, Sakham, with, Dhamma, for the topmost planet, Swayambhuvam, belonging to Lord Brahma. Prabho, O King. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Narada, having become the spiritual master of Chitraketu, instructed him fully in this prayer because Chitraketu was fully surrendered. O King Parikshit, Narada then left with the great sage Angira for the topmost planet known as Brahmaloka. When Angira had first come to visit King Chitraketu, he did not bring Narada with him. However, after the death of Chitraketu's son, Angira brought Narada to instruct King Chitraketu about Bhakti Yoga. The difference was that in the beginning, Chitraketu was not in a temperament of renunciation, but after the death of his son, when he was overwhelmed by his great plight, he was awakened to the platform of renunciation by instructions regarding the falsity of this material world and material possessions. It is only at this stage that Bhakti Yoga can be instructed. As long as one is attached to material enjoyment, Bhakti Yoga cannot be understood. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2.44. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya aparita chetasam vivasayatnika buddhir samadhau na vidhiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination of devotional service to the Lord, Supreme Lord, does not take place. As long as one is very much attached to material enjoyment, one cannot concentrate his mind on the subject matter of devotional service. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is talking about all of you. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is progressing successfully in the Western countries at the present moment because the youth in the West have reached the stage of Vairagya, or renunciation. They are practically disgusted with material pleasure from material sources, and this has resulted in a population of hippies throughout the Western countries. Now, if these young people are instructed about Bhakti Yoga, Krishna Consciousness, the instructions will certainly be effective. As soon as Chitraketu understood the philosophy of Vairagya Vidya, the knowledge of renunciation, he could understand the process of Bhakti Yoga. In this regard, Srila Sarvamo Bhattacharya has said, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. This is a beautiful verse that he composed in honor of Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is there in Madhya Leela, chapter 6, text 254. Vairagya Vidya and Bhakti Yoga are parallel lines. One is essential for understanding the other. It is also said, Bhakti Pareshana Bhava Viraktir Anyatra Cha, Bhagavatam 11th Canto, 2nd Chapter, Text 42. Advancement in devotional service of Krishna consciousness is characterized by increasing renunciation of material enjoyment. Narada Muni is the father of devotional service, and therefore, just to bestow causeless mercy upon King Chitraketu, Angira brought Narada Muni to instruct the king. These instructions were extremely effective. Anyone who follows in the footsteps of Narada Muni is certainly a pure devotee. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Ebacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Pachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Taranam Hare Krishna. The 6th Canto, 16th Chapter, Text 26. So here, as we all know, Narada Muni and Angira Rishi, they have both come to instruct King Chitraketu. And Narada Muni, he has instructed, he has given a mantra to Maharaj Chitraketu. And then he gave some instructions also, as you have been reading the last, you know, 2-3 days. He gave him a mantra, then he further explained in very brief, in 4 or 5 verses, one can say the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness to King Chitraketu. And then now Angira and Narada now and Angira, they're both ready to go back to where they came from. So as it is mentioned in the scriptures, you know, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, lava matra sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra ko hai, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi. So here is a great example of that. And we also hear from the scriptures, Brahmanda Brahmide Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Bija. So here, King Chitraketu, he has been brought from this position of intense attachment and lamentation. So they are initiating him now into the process of Bhakti Yoga. So they have been, he has been given transcendental knowledge. And as Prabhupada explains, this transcendental knowledge was first given to bring about some detachment. And then, on further on top of the transcendental knowledge, then further instructions about the process of devotional service can be given. So there is one story that illustrates this funny story which I've heard from devotees. So there was this one lady who had a, I think you must have heard the story from Nityananda Pran or others. There's a one lady who had a goat. And she was very, very attached to the goat. Somehow or the other, this goat, you know, it died. And so this lady, that was the only position she had. She had no family, no friends. This goat was all her possession. And so obviously she was completely, you know, devastated, much like Chitraketu here, who had a son and who lost his son. He's completely devastated. very emotional, devastated. And so, but somehow or the other, in the village that she's living, some saintly persons, they come, sadhus, and they're having this, you know, Bhagavat Saptah, you know, this common. They're having Krishna Katha. And so this lady, so there's, you know, a whole bunch of people, and this lady is also sitting there in the Krishna Katha, and she's sitting like front row. So the speaker is speaking, and then this lady that is sitting there in the front seat, tears are flowing from her eyes, and you know, so like, and so the speaker is getting more excited, like, oh wow, this is the personification of Sukadeva Goswami, that is, I'm sorry, Parikshit Maharaj, who has come to hear, you know, very eager personality. So he's like putting, you know, more and more gusto into his Bhagavatam class. And this is going on, you know, for in the first day this happens, and the second day again she's there, front row seat, and she's like absorbed in Krishna Katha. And so this goes on, and then so after 7 days, so the speaker, he asks her, wow, I mean, I could not help but notice, I mean, you were really moved, and you know, something was going on. What was happening? Could you mind sharing what you were going through when you were died? And when you see your flowing beard, and then I was reminded about my goat. And here, it could be any one of us with this goat. And although Prabhupada is explaining in this, the first goal, Arjuna, you know, he doesn't want to fight. You know, and of course, so he tells, he also gives him so that he can be detached, and then he can perform his duty. So the second charge of Krishna to Arjuna is the same. Reasons or planes of consciousness from which he can do it for me. So similarly here, it's in the purport. When he first came, he saw that King Richard, and then Boga Aishwarya Prasak Aishwarya, like they're like hijacking. Chetasam, so intelligence. So the intelligence becomes hijacked by these intense attachment, you know, Boga Aishwarya, to Boga and Aishwarya. And then, so you know, Vavasayatmika Buddhir Samadho Na Vidhiyate. So when somebody's in that state of affairs, it's impossible for this resolute determination of Bhakti Yoga to take root. And so as we've been hearing, so Angirar Muni, when he came, he saw that, you know, King Chitraketu was not ready for it. So he created this whole circumstance, if you will, although it was in the destiny for King Chitraketu to not have a son, but then as we read some time ago, he gave him a blessing to have a son. So to create an a circumstance which will, you know, generate some detachment. And that's what happened. So he got a son, but then his son died, and then he was finished. But then the saintly persons, this is the nature of the saintly persons. Now they are non-envious, you know, and they just try to assist the conditioned soul in taking the next step. They don't tell them, like Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, says people that are too attached, you should not disturb them. You know, I mean, you give them a small nudge. You know, you don't you know, kick them in the butt. Just, but you give them a small nudge. You push them a little bit. You know, what is the next step that they can take, like that? And then very expertly, you know, devotee is expert. Very expertly, they bring them to the position of surrendering unto the lotus feet of Krishna. And they understand that the process of surrender is gradual. So they don't try to like hit a home run every ball. Just get to the next base. You know, just, you know, sometimes bunt or whatever, sacrifice fly, and all that. So they just try to, you know, what is the next thing? How can I inspire some level of detachment, some level of surrender in this conditioned soul? That's all they're thinking about. And then they get out of the way. This is very important. I was going to talk about this. They get out of the way. Because once the message is given, you know, the conditioned soul, it needs some, you know, freedom to practice it in the laboratory of life. So Angira Rishi, he gave him, he told him that, you know, it'll bring you a lot of suffering. But he said, no, that's okay. Give it to me. Give it to me. So give me a son. So he got a son. And then that whole, in the pastime, he learned many things. So this is one of the natures of a Vaishnava. You know, we have to have this nature. We have to care, but we have to care in a detached way. We cannot be like, you know, like hawks, foster like a child that is always, but then when they're not there, it's like Haribol. So there has to be some level of detachment in those that are caring for Vaishnavas. And Angira Rishi is showing that. King Chitraketu is an adult. This is important because this is their only attention. Like, you know, Srila Prabhupada disciples, that's why they travel every 3 years. You visit different places every year and see, you know, which disciple is doing well, who is not doing well, and okay, just, you know, off to the next place. But if the Vaishnava becomes attached, you know, then they cannot do their function. They are just one piece of the puzzle, one piece of the story of how a conditioned soul will go back home, back to Godhead. Krishna is there, other Vaishnavas are there, in the process of devotional service is there. So the holy name is there, so many things are there. So then when we have that perspective, of course we do our part, but then we can do our own bhajan, sadhana. Otherwise I'm like all worried about, oh my God, you know, how is that devotee doing? I can't do my bhajan. So doing our part, and then what they can receive. We may have many things in our arsenal, but we cannot give everything. So like that, Narada Muni with him when he came around next time. So Prabhupada writes in his purports in Srimad Bhagavatam that a Vaishnava, he is very, very, he is non-envious by nature. And a Vaishnava, he is happy to hear from, you know, senior Vaishnavas, senior God brothers, you know, invite the senior, you know, Vaishnavas into a situation and see if how a situation can be improved, you know, or, you know, bettered. So here, Angira Rishi, he's himself a very qualified personality. But then he comes, he brings along with him Narada Muni, as Prabhupada writes. I mean, he's the father of devotional service. He's the most expert personality. Yeah. So we should be humble, we should know what we can do, and we should know what we cannot do. And this is what I'm saying, part of giving somebody Krishna consciousness is to know when to get out of the way. You know, because if we become attached to our, you know, our turf or our wards, in the process we will suffer, they'll also suffer. The Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Instruction, a Madhyam Adhikari, you know, may bring a conditioned soul to a certain level, but then he entrusts the, you know, the conditioned soul to an Uttam Adhikari. He cannot claim discipleship over them. So we have to know, you know, our limitations. And then there are different levels of Madhyam Adhikari as well. So sometimes, so we work cooperatively with, you know, our, you know, God brothers and God sisters, and the intention is, you know, the well-wishing of this conditioned soul. It's not, you know, who delivered. I mean, this is the beautiful dialogue that's happening between, you know, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda when they deliver Jagai and Madhai. Lord Chaitanya is giving the credit to Lord Nityananda, said, you know, you are delivering, you delivered them. Lord Nityananda saying is, no, you know, you are delivering them. So there is no claim, you know, for proprietorship or, you know, I am the deliverer. No, Krishna is the deliverer, as we were hearing in the Guru Tattva seminar. Krishna is the deliverer of the conditioned soul. He delivers through many agencies, the holy name, through the scriptures, through the Vaishnavas, so many things. But he is the deliverer. So of course we have to play our part. But then we have to clearly know, then we have to know what our position is. So here, Angira Rishi is bringing Narada Muni. Because he's expert, he's qualified. And Narada has a repertoire, right? Especially with kings, not just king. Narada has delivered, you know, all kinds of people, but then kings, you know, he's instructed Yudhishthir Maharaj, he's instructed, as we were hearing earlier, the Haryashvas, the Shabalashvas, Prahlad Maharaj. So he knows. He knows, especially he knows how to deliver anyone, but then, kings also. So Angira Rishi, he brings Narada Muni. And Angira Rishi, he ascertained that King Chitraketu was not ready earlier. So he let it be. He gave him just a little, whatever he was ready for. And then he came back. And then when he came back, what happened? So Prabhupada is writing here. Difference was that in the beginning, Chitraketu was not in a temperament of renunciation. But after the death of his son, when he was overwhelmed by his great plight, he was awakened to the platform for renunciation by instructions regarding the falsity of this material world and material possessions. It is only at this stage that Bhakti Yoga can be instructed. And then Prabhupada later on writes, he is giving, he's writing, of course, these purports in the 60s and 70s. So where, this whole hippie movement is going on. And Prabhupada is writing, why were they, the youth then so receptive to this message of Krishna consciousness? Because they had seen, their parents, try this materialistic way of life and what it brought them. They themselves had experienced it. And so they were thoroughly, disillusioned by it. So they had experienced it already. The utter dissatisfaction in material life. So they were looking for answers. And so Srila Prabhupada, he came, and then the message was very well received by them because they were ready for it. It's the same thing as what Queen Kunti writes in her prayers. She says that one who is sort of materially, famished, one who is attached to Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shri, right, they cannot feelingly call out to the Supreme Lord. They cannot chant feelingly. They cannot take up the process of devotion so feelingly. So here Prabhupada is writing, the youth in that era, they were ready. They were renounced. Of course, there are different levels of renunciation. The Bhagavad Gita describes about this, different kinds of renunciation. Renunciation, vairagya in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance. So whatever it may be, there was some level of, vairagya, renunciation, in the youth. And Prabhupada, expertly, he gave them the process of Krishna consciousness. And they bought into it. This Krishna consciousness movement is progressing successfully in the Western countries at the present moment because the youth in the West have reached the stage of vairagya, or renunciation. And then Prabhupada, especially, he's glorifying, the Western youth at that time. Because Srila Prabhupada compared, and even now, he would compare the Indians at the time to the new crows. The crows, the crows, they go to the places of garbage, filth. The swans, they go to the holy places, places that are clean. The crows, they go to places where there is garbage. So he would compare, I think our first generation of Indians, immigrants were coming at that time, 60s and 70s. So Prabhupada said, these are the new crows. Meaning the crows of America, they've already, realized that this is garbage. But then people are coming, the crows are coming all the way from India and they're going to feast on this garbage. But anyway, but there is always a new, batch of crows coming all the time. This is the material world, And in a way, now it's not just in the Western world or Eastern world. Everywhere, it's this sense gratification is there. But of course, we're also seeing as Srila Prabhupada's disciples are speaking as we hear them, as they are traveling, all over the world, there is definitely interest in the youth, in the colleges and in the youth to take up Krishna consciousness. So in a way, this Krishna consciousness, it's not surprising because it is not artificial. Yeah, this is what everybody is actually looking for. People just don't know it. So the service that we have is whether somebody finished, and they know that this material world will not give them what they're looking for, or somebody has not come to the realization. In either case, we have to give the message. Like we were hearing upstairs, when Lakshmi Mataji was there. Sometimes people don't know what they need. If we wait for them to know what they need and then they come to us, we'll have to wait a long time. So we have to educate them. We have to create a need. We have to identify that they need these. They need this Krishna consciousness, and we have to give it to them in an expert way. And the easiest way to give Krishna consciousness is chanting of the holy name, sankirtan, books of Prabhupada, transcendental literature, prasadam distribution, festivals that we hold. So just an awareness, is created. Some people are looking for it, some people are not looking for it. However it happens, we need to create such opportunities. And then the last paragraph. As soon as Chitraketu understood the philosophy of Vairagya Vidya, the knowledge of renunciation, he could understand the process of Bhakti Yoga. And Sarvam Vatacharya's verse is quoted, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. One is essential for understanding the other. So of course, bhakti is completely independent. It is not dependent on anything. It's not that bhakti comes from vairagya, so let's not get confused about that. Bhakti comes from bhakti. But a level of vairagya enables one to be open to hear, because bhakti comes from, in a way, shravanam, kirtanam. So just enough detachment to sit and hear, adav shraddha, sadhu sangha, take the association of sadhus, and then the association of sadhus, what does one do? Sit and hear. So some level of vairagya is required, because we see also many times many people, they come to our temples. I mean, in Krishna consciousness, we are preaching the message of Bhagavata every day, but then they have a particular idea about God consciousness, and as if like we are, whatever is going on here is like they are completely oblivious to this whole Shravanam and Kirtanam. They just come and like boom, and they just go out. And this is done for years and years and years, So of course, as I was speaking earlier, some Sukriti, they are, the wet wood is becoming dry wood. The wet wood is becoming dry wood. But then, so this Shravanam and Kirtanam, there has to be some level of detachment, and at least there has to be some questions have to be asked, because the answer may be right in front of you. But if you're not asking the question, if you're not asking the question, we will not get it, basically. That. So this, some level of detachment, it inspires us to inquire, who am I? What is life? What is my relationship? Who is God? What is my relationship with God? So there has to be some space. If you can imagine in our consciousness, there has to be some space, some room, for such contemplations, introspection. If our mind is completely absorbed with just, the day-to-day and, the next meal and, and the next vacation or whatever else it is, there's no space for higher contemplations, which is, characterized by human form of life. So somehow or the other, some may have such inquiries and they come, some may not. So either way, we need to create some circumstances where everybody can understand the urgency of it, of this Krishna consciousness. Vairagya Vidya and Bhakti Yoga are parallel lines. One is essential for understanding the other. It is also said, Bhakti Pareshana Bhava Viraktir Anyatracha. Advancement in devotional service or Krishna consciousness is characterized by increasing renunciation of material enjoyment. So this is one of the symptoms, actually, of a devotee on the higher platforms of devotional service. There are many symptoms listed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. One of them is they are not interested in these mundane affairs, avyarthakalatvam. They don't want to even waste a single moment of their life in pursuing activities of sense gratification. And bhakti further gives rise to detachment. So initially our detachment may be more actually an aversion and running away from something. So it's not really detachment, because aversion and attachment are the two sides of the same coin. But whatever, some aversion, it at least gets us in the door. And then as we hear the message of Krishna consciousness, as we practice, and I said, oh my God, that's not really detachment. It's aversion. It's the other side of attachment. So then we properly understand things as they are, and we actually come to the process, to the stage of real renunciation, which is seeing everything in connection with Krishna and then utilizing that in Krishna consciousness. Yukta vairagyam, right? Anasaktasya vishayan yatha arham upayunjatah nirbandha Krishna sambandha yuktam vairagyam uchyate. So that mature vairagya or tyaga or renunciation, detachment, that comes from further practicing devotional service. So the initial devotion, initial detachment and renunciation, it helps us receive the bhakti lata bij, and then as we practice it, then further detachment comes. Like the example that comes to mind is, then one actually understands that I cannot have one foot in one boat and the other foot in the other boat. One foot in the boat of devotional service, one foot in the boat of sense gratification. I'll neither get here nor there, just fall in the river. So then one firmly plants both one's feet in the boat of devotional service. So this is the mature renunciation, mature vairagya, and it is a byproduct of bhakti. Bhakti pareshan bhava viraktir anyatracha. Right? That. Okay. Then, last paragraph. Narada Muni is the father of devotional service, and therefore just to bestow causeless mercy upon King Chitraketu, Angira brought Narada Muni to instruct the king. So we discussed this a little bit. He's the father of devotional service. And these saintly personalities, that's all, their mercy is causeless. They are circumambulating the whole globe to give Krishna consciousness to somebody who is interested. They are canvassing on behalf of the Lord, and they are trying to reclaim the conditioned souls. They want to take them back to Godhead. They're doing that. Angira brought Narada Muni to instruct the king. These instructions were extremely effective. Anyone who follows in the footsteps of Narada Muni is certainly a pure devotee. So what has happened is, so King Chitraketu, he has had some association, Vapu and Vani, right? Physical association of Narada Muni, and that physical association of Narada Muni and Angira Rishi, he received a lot of instructions. And now, they're ready to go. And as it is mentioned in the translation, Sri Sugati Goswami continued, Narada, having become the spiritual master of Chitraketu, instructed him fully in this prayer because Chitraketu was fully surrendered. So Chitraketu was ready, and Narada Muni and Chitraketu and Angira Rishi, they instructed him. And then now, in a way, their job is done. They cannot apply for King Chitraketu. King Chitraketu has to apply the principles of devotional service himself. And they said, okay, Hari Bol. And so King Chitraketu, as we see here, he has received these instructions, and he is going to keep them in the core of his heart. And in this way, he will continue to associate with Narada and Angira. And this is a core principle of association, the most important principle of association through Vani. Because if we learn to associate with Vani through the sound, through the instructions, then you know Krishna or the devotees are never far away. They are right there with us. Like Prabhupada said, I never felt I was without my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because I always, his instructions, they were, you know, guiding my life. So now Sambandha Gyan and Abhideya, Chitraketu will apply what he has heard from Angira Narada Muni. And then in very soon, in 7 days, he comes to the stage of perfection. He applies these things. So that's what we have to do. That's our job, to apply. And then of course, as we apply these principles of Krishna consciousness, Krishna is there in the heart. The Vaishnavas are also there. And they will guide us. They will correct us. So the Suhrida Satam, if the devotee is sincere, truthful devotee, Krishna from within the heart, he will remove the impurities. He'll destroy the darkness of ignorance, like 10:11 Bhagavad Gita, right? Thesham evanukam partham aham agyana jam tamaha nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhashvata. So if somebody is sincere, they want to serve Krishna, Krishna says, I'll give you the intelligence by which you can come to me. Not only that, if you're sincere, then I will remove the darkness. So Krishna reciprocates. So from our side, we want to please Krishna, then Krishna is not passive. He is ready to help. He'll help us. So we apply the principles of Krishna consciousness, and then if there are some adjustments that need to be made, then Krishna will guide us from within. Some other devotees will help us, and then we keep going. So we'll pause here and see if there is any comments or discussion. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thanks for a really nice class, because that brings up a lot of points that I wanted to make, from looking at the verse yesterday and having the discussion. But the last point I was actually going to bring up, you kind of brought it up in your last point about Bapu and Vani, that the most important thing is in instruction. So this brings to mind two stories that I read in Lilamrita. It said one of Prabhupada's female disciples said, I wish I could be, more closer to Prabhupada. I wish I could get this association, etc. But then she humbly realized that, real association doesn't mean physical proximity. It means to get serious about Krishna consciousness. And on the flip side of the coin, one of Prabhupada's other disciples kind of realized this point in a more humiliating way, where Prabhupada really humbled him. So basically, back in the 70s, there was the Rig Veda system where, Prabhupada had to be introduced to some of his disciples. He chanted on their beads, but they were sent their beads. So in the Lilamrita, it was described that when Prabhupada was in Paris, he hadn't met the temple president of the Paris temple yet. And so then the temple president was late for some reason meeting Prabhupada, and there was a whole crowd of, disciples, hearing Krishna Katha or something, whatever. And so then the temple president walks in late for whatever reason. And so then he bypasses everyone, walks to the front of the he walks to the front and sits directly next to Prabhupada. And so then he describes that Prabhupada then gave me my first instruction. He said Prabhupada didn't even look at me. That was his instruction. So he realized that, being close to Prabhupada, although he was close to Prabhupada in physical proximity, he was, completely distanced from him, due to his pride. And so that goes back to the original point I wanted to make. Me and Terrence, we was having a conversation yesterday, and in that conversation, the pastime of, and it's related to this Bhagavatam class, fortunately, the pastime of Bilva Mangal Thakur and the prostitute Chintamani came up. Yeah. When did that pastime take place? Like 1,000 years ago or something? I know it was before the time of Chaitanya. Mm. But do you know where it's mentioned? I mean, I've heard the story many times, but...
Where is it mentioned?
Yeah, is it in like the Chaitanya Charitamrita?
No, I don't know.
Okay. So anyways, I would like to mention some points in regards to this pastime, and it's very relates to this subject matter. So basically, most people, I'm not sure if anyone knows about the pastime, but I'll just briefly narrate it to my best of my ability. So basically, there was a South Indian Brahmana named Bilbo Mangal Thakur, and he was intoxicated by lust from this prostitute, and she fulfilled his desires. And so then he became naturally attached, you know, Bogai Shreya Prasaktanam, he became, you know, attached to sense gratification. And so then a prostitute went on her way, went home or whatever. And then one stormy night, it was like practically a hurricane. He just to see the prostitute again, he went in the dead of the night, you know, crossed the river, you know, held on to a dead body to, you know, as a floating object to cross the river. He came to her house and scaled a cobra, thinking it was a rope, jumped over a fence, and then he finally reached the prostitute's house and knocked on the door. And basically, he disclosed to her, you know, the difficulty he, you know, had in getting there. And she was basically, you know, like, thinking probably like, are you serious? It is described that she became his first instructing spiritual master. She actually told him, you know, go to Vrindavan. You know, there you could find complete satisfaction and eternal happiness. You know, if you were so attached to Krishna, then this body, then, you know, you'll find complete satisfaction. So then he took her instruction, but still he was lusting after everyone he saw in Vrindavan. And then he came upon a Brahmana's wife and asked the Brahmana's wife, can I borrow your hairpins? And so he borrowed her hairpins. And then he plucked out his eyes. And so I was, in the course of discussing this pastime with Terrence, I was, you know, connecting some points that I've kind of learned from my teachers, and I never heard any lessons being described with it. Like, for example, when Lakshmi Muni was here, she described the Uddhava Gita that, and the Uddhava Gita is described that one can take lessons from everywhere, nature or whatever brings one closer to Krishna, that's a bona fide lesson. So the lesson I got from this pastime is that basically the plucking out the eyes, you know, man, obviously plucking out the anartas. Most people say maybe lust, of course lust, but pride is, I derive from there, and there's some reference behind this point. Is that one point my brother brought up several times, and I was fortunate enough to browse through the Jiva Dharma where my brother mentioned this point a few weeks ago, and I came across this point my brother's mentioned many times. Basically in chapter 8 of Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that although a Vaishnava may resolutely drive out away lust, etc., still the desire for pratishtha or pride, prestige, honor, distinction, it doesn't go away so easily, and it's truly detrimental to one's Christian consciousness. So for me, this pastime essentially represented that, you know, although Bilbo Mangal Thakur plucked out his eyes, is long story short, he was able to get Krishna's association. Krishna gave him prasadam, you know, gave him prasadam. He didn't realize who this boy was at first. Then Krishna started playing this flute, and he was able to get Krishna's association. And for me, this pastime represented, you know, humility. You know, unless we become humble, you know, there's no way, you know, we could receive the mercy of the Lord. You know, basically, although he wasn't able to physically see the Lord, he was able to see him through Premanjana Charita Bhakti Viloshanena. And Prabhupada mentioned this particular point in one particular lecture called how can one see God. He mentions that the scientists, you know, are so, you know, enthusiastic to see God. How come I can't see God? So he made the point that a mechanic, he sees the machine and we see machine, but we see differently. The mechanic could know what's wrong with the car, but we can't see it because we don't have the proper eyes. So for this pastime, to me, I kind of really appreciated this pastime because it represented, you know, how one should be more dependent on the Lord. We, in our pride, we think, you know, we're the controller, you know, we're independent, we're completely free. And so, especially to connect to the point of when Ratha Prabhu first moved in the temple, I remember he was going to see his mother, who was in a nursing home. He would go see her every day, walk at least like an hour almost, just to take care of his mother, because nursing homes are very, they're not a good place to be, factually. And so his mother was blind. She had all types of, you know, diseases, and she was very sick. And she was in the last stages of her life, you know, for many years. And so the pastime I connected with this is, you know, with Bilbo Mangal Thakur, is that he was completely incapacitated. He was completely helpless, dependent on the Lord's mercy, and that's how he obtained the Lord's mercy. You know, the only way he was able to obtain the mercy is in a completely helpless position. He had lost his vision, and he was completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And although we may not physically be able to see the Lord, we could certainly see the Lord's mercy in our lives, you know, given the fact that, you know, we could at least try to be humble to some extent. And so this is the point I wanted to share, and thank you for letting me share it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anything else? Look.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for the class, Ru. I was wondering on this point of detached care. It seems like it's very challenging to apply. Could you share some principles that, I mean, I'm thinking in two circumstances. One would be the relationship between a spiritual master and the disciple. And the other would be between a husband and a wife. Just to share my personal opinion, I feel it's kind of like a challenging area currently that our society is struggling to develop a better understanding and application of this principle of detached care. Because although we have such a beautiful philosophy and really wonderful association and everything, we're really struggling with healthy marriages, and then on the other side, there's also a lot of challenges that we're facing currently in guru-disciple relationships. So, could you share a few things, just principles to help kind of balance this idea that on the one side there's detachment, on the other side there is a certain responsibility that the person is assuming by entering into the relationship, and what does that kind of entail? Is my request clear? Or
okay, so why, it's a very big question. What are the things that will help? They have formulated an ISKCON disciple course, which will become mandatory for those that are getting initiated. You know, from next year, it will become a mandatory requirement. I recently took the course. I think it's very valuable. Even those that have been in the movement for many years. So it demystifies many of the things about the spiritual master and disciple relationship. I would also encourage devotees to read. One of the requirements that my spiritual master has prior to initiation is a thorough reading of the spiritual master and disciple book. Writing essays and on the different section of the book. The book has broadly three sections: the need for initiation, the duties and the qualities of a spiritual master, the duties and the qualities of a disciple. So it's not just some, you know, sentimental idea about discipleship relationship. So that's one of the things that I was recommended, and it is very, very useful. The ISKCON disciple course also gets into some of these things, actually. You know, the deep subject about Guru Tattva, you know, and what does it mean to be a disciple, and that. And we will see the seminar covers that actually many of the qualities and the duties that a spiritual master is expected to, you know, possess or exhibit, the disciple, same qualities. Disciple also has to possess the same qualities. For example, you know, as you're saying, Prabhupada, you know, quite heavily he condemned, you know, this, you know, gurus, having gurus as a fashion. So the spiritual master, one of the main functions of the spiritual master is to to impress upon the disciple the abject futility of material life, like in the 11th canto. But then the disciple has to be ready to learn that. So then a proper marriage or proper relationship can be there. Because if we are looking for cut glass and the spiritual master is offering a diamond, it's not going to match. So the disciple, it's our responsibility, as you said, to do proper diligence. And why do I want to follow Krishna consciousness? What do I want from Krishna consciousness? That we have to do.
I guess
fortunately, well, I've been very, very fortunate that I have not experienced some of the challenges that you're referring to in guru-disciple relationship. I've been fortunate, but I can understand that that people are facing challenges. And so, of course, we are so just small fishes, we can't really comment. But there is a whole, committee, the guru committee, there are GBC committees that are ensuring that the devotees that are occupying the position, taking the position of the guru, they have not only the qualifications, but they also have all the support that they need, that they can do their service. So that's why we see this ISKCON leadership sangha and such initiatives where we are spending so much time in taking care of the devotees, but then how do we take care of ourselves? So some so the leaders of ISKCON more and more they are realizing that we need to spend time with each other. We need an exclusive time. Like recently, Lakshmimani Mataji was mentioning, like in some of the GBC meetings, some of the leaders of the Hare Krishna movement, they wanted to discuss certain things, but then in this day of media and all that, they said they clearly mentioned what all they wanted. We don't want any cell phones, no cameras, no nothing, and then no disciples hanging around our necks, and just give us our space. It was hard, but then that's what, because for them to really have a safe environment where they can discuss some of the challenges that they may be facing in their service, there has to be an atmosphere where they can discuss these things. So, I think the leaders in ISKCON are understanding. Earlier we were thinking, maybe it's the disciple's problem, it's his issue, what issue, there's no issue. And, we were ignoring, I think, the white elephant in the room. But now, the leaders are taking responsibility. That yes, okay, some things have to be done, and they're taking some measures. So detached caring is a broad topic. Once I was asked to write a small essay on what are the qualities, and this is for my edification, my spiritual master, he asked me to write some of the qualities that are required to be a mentor. Okay, so as I start writing, like, oh my God, it's like the same qualities as, I'm not saying spiritual master, but same. You need patience, you need tolerance, you need detachment, you need to really genuinely care for people, and it was a humbling exercise basically, but it was very useful. Go ahead.
I was just remembering when Maharaj was here, His Holiness Rampan Maharaj was here for the Holy Name Retreat. He mentioned this quote from the Chaitanya Bhagavat that if a spiritual master has disciples who are not properly trained, that they're committing offenses, Vaishnava Prad, then that guru, that spiritual master will be very adversely affected by that. So it's just an interesting, it's an interesting relationship, and this principle of detached care, it seems very subtle, like very difficult to actually, on the one side, understand, and then from that understanding properly apply. Because clearly there is, like, one is implicated. I guess we could say, would it be, he's implicated to the degree that he's not 100% on the transcendental platform? Is that right?
Well, one could say that, and one could also, I mean, to the degree that, you know, he or she have not done their due diligence, they have not done the due part. So again, so when we say detached caring, even Srila Prabhupada, you know, had this system, and like Krishna has a system also, right? Like, for example, Krishna, he doesn't get involved directly with this material world, with the affairs of the material world. But there are his own, one can say, expansions or plenary expansions or representatives that do that for him. And he invests, you know, that potency in them to carry out the affairs. So in a way, it's, Krishna is far removed, one can say, but then he's also there. So similarly, you know, a spiritual master, so as a disciple, I should not think that if my spiritual master is asking me to take, you know, some care from a senior god brother or a god sister, that is, you know, that, because he is standing behind that care, it is as potent, you know, as, so he's directly caring for the disciple. So, and he has the system through which he is caring for the disciples. That, you know, like the spirit, and then we also have this, you know, the parallel lines of authority, you know, paper. So the spiritual master is there, and then there is a local devotees, you know, the disciple be living in an area, and so the leaders of that sangha and the spiritual master, they work together. You know, there are discussions, you know, between the spiritual master and the local leaders, you know, like, not like how is my disciple doing, but, you know, like how is this gentleman doing, and, you know, what is needed for him, how can we work together, and, you know, take him further along. So these systems, there are various systems that are there that can be put in place. You know, another is, you know, like my spiritual master, especially he, like his recorded sound. He that's why he emphasizes again and again. He says through recorded sound, I'm able to give care, protection to people all over the globe. And when I'm speaking at one place, I'm not just thinking about the person that is sitting in front of me, but I'm thinking about, you know, so many of my, you know, not just disciples, so many devotees all over the world, and I'm speaking. So this is the recorded sound. So all these arrangements are personal arrangements, you know. So we have to take them like that. Yeah. Go ahead. If there's anything
more. Anyway, like you said, it's a big topic, so I don't want to say any more. Thank you for sharing.
Okay. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Okay, so we'll pause here and we'll continue tomorrow. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.